Hi, and welcome to Webcams TV. I'm your host, Corey Fowler. With us, as always, the Jaffe, or MC Jaffe.
No, we're not doing that.
No? We're not going to?
I kind of like it.
I did no rapping today.
It's getting squashed. No rapping today. So it's over with.
There's no MCing happening.
Jaffe, you missed last week, but we had an epic show. And I wanted to extend it just a little bit today just to show our audience just how much cooler things can get. I mean, everything that David showed off last week was absolutely amazing, and I hope everyone out there is going and doing what I'm going to show off, which is going out and building a website extension. Right. But I just wanted to kind of show a little bit more. So, while David was on the show, he showed off a PHP Manager application that his team worked on, and they actually pushed it out to GitHub. So you can go out, look at the source code, and it's actually going to work as an example for people that are building website extensions.
Nice.
So in the, you know, suave fashion that I do.
Suave.
I went out and downloaded the source and went and extended what they've done and added one extra piece to it.
Sweet.
So I wanted to get into that.
Okay.
And then we'll take a look.
Awesome.
Cool. So I'm just dropping in here, and David was showing us the PHP Manager. So I wanted to bring up the GitHub page that basically shows off PHP Manager. So if you do find something that you think will be useful for the PHP community to add in, you can go, you can fork this project. As you can see, there's one fork already. That's mine. And you can go and extend this project. So what we'll do here is just drop into the diagnostic console. And I just wanted to talk about, you know, how you actually load this up. Because well, one, you'll just kind of have to go back to last week's show and take a look. But this diagnostics console is in a nice hidden secret that we've actually talked about twice on the show now.
All right.
Because remember when we had Amit on the show?
Right.
And then David talked about it again last week.
Oh, nice.
So as you can see here, I have my site extensions folder and a PHP Manager folder, and this has my awesome application. So let's load up that PHP Manager. So I'm just going to change the URL here, but through the magic of TV, I already have it open. So this is the PHP Manager, and last week it had three settings, and I've just added this fourth column. So I'm just going to go and hit Import Mod Rewrite Rules. For people out there that aren't familiar with it, htaccess is the file that's used for Apache, and it does all of the Apache configurations. Right. And Mod Rewrite is very much like IIS Rewrite, where it actually does URL rewriting for your app. Pretty straightforward. So what this tool does is it takes those mod rewrite settings, and we're just going to go and choose a file. I'm using the nice HTML5 accept criteria here, so I only get htaccess files available to me. And then I go and hit import. So you can see here that my htaccess file, I have the rewrite rule engine turned on, and we have a couple of rules. And in the bottom here, I didn't have a web config file in my web application, so I'm just saying like this is a net new PHP app, nothing in there except for the hosting start.html. Right. So this actually went and created a full-fledged web config file with those rewrite rules. So we have the first rule, the second rule, everything's there. I just go click the checkbox and hit save, and my settings were saved successfully.
Nice.
So now I have my existing rewrite rules all set up, ready for my application to go. One issue I'm still working on is if you go and rewrite or you republish your application, you end up overwriting your web config. Oh. So I'm going to try and figure out how we can get that changed, but hopefully I'll have it in there within the next couple of days.
Well, and you never know. If you don't have it done by the time this airs, go fork the
they can go fork and do a pull request into my fork.
Although he'll have it done before this airs.
Probably.
They won't know it before it's published.
Yeah, they won't.
Jaffe reminds me week by
mind
week.
Mind blown.
Jaffe's like, Corey, have you published the show yet? I'm like, oh man, no, I haven't. So to pull back to that diagnostics tool, basically what we end up doing is we can go back in here, look at our site. And I should have did this beforehand, so it's not like, oh, look, there's a web config file there that wasn't there before. But I do have a demo around that. So here's my web config file.
Is that dance required? Here's,
it is required.
Okay.
Dancing is required when you do web dev. It's a lot of fun. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to replace this with a really advanced web config file that we have in one of our projects in the Windows Azure Training Kit. So as you can see, this is pretty extensive. And right in here, you can see we have system.webserver. which is where those rewrite rules go. And you'll notice there aren't any rewrite rules there to begin with. I'm just going to go and save. So we'll just head back over to our import wizard here, choose a file, grab our htaccess file again, hit import, and you can see it's actually loading up my webconfig file. And when we scroll down to the system.webserver node, which is right here, you can see we still have those two original configurations there, but we've added in the rewrite rules that are required.
Nice.
Really quite cool. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the one gotcha, and I just want to make sure people know how this tool works. If you are one of those awesome, crazy web devs that, you know, even though you're writing PHP, you've learned how to use webconfig files for IIS, and you've added rewrite rules of your own, this tool is basically going to go in and obliterate your old rewrite and just add them in. It's not going to do any kind of merge functionality.
Obliterate.
Yeah. However, if you go off to GitHub, you can, you know, add an issue in there and say, hey, by the way, this would be really cool if you can merge it. And if we get a lot of feedback with plus ones, maybe I'll go out and write it.
Obliterate is the title of the issue. Obliterate.
But yeah, so basically I just wanted to show, you know, website extensions, really cool, really crazy to do, and very, very easy to pick up existing extensions, add your own. And if you watched the show last week, it shows everything you need to know on how to get them installed as a private site extension.
Right.
Awesome.
Nice.
Well, I think we need to head over to Olivier.
Head over to him.
Head over.
We're going over to you right now, Olivier. We're heading over. How you doing?
And now, our feature presentation.
Olivier, I mean, you've been on the show before.
I have.
With me, actually.
Yeah.
It was my first time on the show.
Yeah. It was just, it was one big new show, because I think it was actually my first show without Brady.
That's,
So it was like, it was the first time for everyone.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we're all older, wiser, and have a lot more cool stuff to show off this time.
Older.
That was cool already.
Yeah. So what do you have to show off for us today?
Wait, so Olivier, just for you guys at home who don't know him, Olivier is, well, tell us about yourself. I don't know what you do.
You don't know what I'm doing?
Okay. He's my boss, but I don't know what he does.
You're fired.
Woohoo!
So I'm technical evangelist in a team called Microsoft Open Technologies. So we are a wholly owned subsidiary of Microsoft, which goal is to bridge Microsoft and non-Microsoft world by engaging with open source and open standards.
Right.
So basically...
Just 1 second there. I know you said bridge, but I just wanted to clarify it for everyone out there because it kind of did say, like you said, breach. So I just want to make sure it's like
bridging.
Microsoft breaching open source. That's not the purpose. It's to bridge the technologies together.
That's correct.
You're correct. That's my French. And so the idea is to make sure that we are playing well with open source.
Right.
And so basically making sure that things work on our platforms and that our platforms are suitable for technology that are used by developers out there.
And a good example of that is you guys actually just worked with one of the Visual Studio teams to release Node.js tooling for Visual Studio.
Actually, our team has been engaged in having Node.js working on Windows and Windows Azure since the very beginning. Developers contributing code to Node.js project to make it work on these platforms were part of our team from the very beginning. So
and we just recently did the Node Hackathon a week ago. So had a lot of people from the community come in and do some great work with Node.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
A lot of social media buzz around it, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Cool. So what are we talking about today, then?
Today we're talking about Apache Cordova, previously known as PhoneGap, which is that web technology that allows you to build apps that will run across multiple devices, multiple mobile devices, and basically all of them today, iOS, Android, even Tizen, Windows Phone, Windows. Our team is actively contributing code to that open source project, which is part of the Apache Software Foundation, to make this technology work well on Windows Phone, on Windows 8. But it will also contribute code and documentation and content and resources to make sure the cross-platform development story is nice. The idea is to say, if you're a web developer and you want to use your code and your existing skills to build apps for these devices, well, you can do that also on Windows platforms.
Cool. And we actually have had a show on Cordova in the past.
Yes.
And we had some fine chaps from Redgate on that were showing off Visual Studio Nomad. And they did a great job. And they showed off support for other platforms. So they actually had like an Android tablet, and they were talking about iOS development and stuff like that. But this really bridges over to the people that want to build for the Windows platform.
Yes.
So your team's been working really hard to make sure that it's nice, seamless experience, and you're going to show off some of those techniques to go out and build for Windows 8 today.
So today I'm going to show you the use of command line tools. There's one thing which is really cool, which is when you're a web developer, you might not be used to use IDEs like Visual Studio or others. So the Cordova community has been working at producing that workflow in parallel to the usual and original IDE, native IDEs, using command lines. So basically using the set of commands I'm going to show you rapidly, you can go all the way through from installing the Cordova tools to creating a new project that will be a cross-platform project, adding various platforms to be supported, generating them, deploying the app, testing it onto the various platforms. In my case, I'm going to demonstrate that on Windows and on a Windows Phone 8 device with the same application.
Cool. So my guess is, you just said that you can install Cordova via the command line. So I'm guessing you're using Node NPM?
We are using NPM install Cordova, and it's going to get the latest version -g. Right?
Cool.
Right.
I'm not going to do that because it takes
already installed.
A couple of minutes. It's already installed, but that's basically the command you would do to do that.
Cool. Right. Awesome. Let's fire it up. Show me some codes.
I will.
Excellent.
So the first thing I'm going to do is Cordova commands, right? Yep. Each time it's going to be Cordova something.
Right.
The first one is an easy one, is create. And I'm going to call whatever the name of the project, I don't know, you name it.
Web French. Webcamps, amazing. Webcamps is amazing.
TV. Let's keep it like that.
Yeah. Let's not get out of control.
Super fragile.
Let's be, exactly. That's not about being conservative, but let me go into that folder. As of right now, you can see that I have a basic structure for a project. I have a .dub.dub folder. It will contain my web code. Right? Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to have various plugins. That's the model for Cordova. We can add functionality that has native functionality and exposes a JavaScript API. And then you have the platforms folder. And this platforms folder is about hosting the various projects for the various native development tools. Right? So the next thing I'm doing is I'm actually adding support for one of the platforms of my choice. And I'm going to add Windows Phone 8 as one of the platforms.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And I'm going to show you what it generated. But before going there, I'm going to add also Windows 8.
Cool.
Okay.
Nice.
So just like a simple call to that command, it actually grabs certain numbers of files, and I will show you which one. So if I go to the Windows Phone 8 folder, here you can see a usual Visual Studio solution folder for a Windows Phone application.
Right.
So if I actually wanted to bring up Visual Studio and open that SLN file, I will see my structure and so on. Right. And I can also see there's a .dub.dub folder. There's a local version for that specific platform of my web code.
Right.
Okay. So the web code is very basic right now. And I can show you how that works already.
So just before we move on, just to kind of step through this a little bit and just to wrap my head around it, when we create this code, basically this is kind of like a hosting frame. And then our application is actually going to be surfaced through an actual Windows Phone application through like a web pane?
So the way it works, it's the principle is the same on all the platforms but Windows 8, and I'm going to dig into that later. But the idea is to have web view controls, web browser controls, that actually host the web code. And the same web code will run across the various platforms. Mm-hmm. And the way the web code will access the native resources like storage, like file system notifications, and so on, is by using Cordova, the Cordova bridge.
Yeah.
Not bridge, Cordova bridge. And it will actually be able to access these the things that are common to all the platforms. You want GPS information, you have one single API that is provided, which is a JavaScript API that's going to be used in your web code.
Yeah, and that just digs through the API. Like, I understand the bridging layer, and it just goes and it calls the native APIs under the covers.
Yes.
It's just abstracting everything up level a little bit. But I just wanted to kind of understand, how is this getting hosted in Windows Phone, and it's not like any voodoo. We actually have a Windows Phone project here, and then we surface our web application using the web pane or web view.
Exactly.
Okay, cool.
And I could have also all the Android tools installed here
and
do the same thing for Android. I cannot do that for iOS. However, I can use some services that Adobe provides called the PhoneGap build services, where I can actually call that build command from here. It will invoke that service online. log me in because I have an account and so on, that's a paying service, yeah. and send me the binary back that I can then deploy through the web, whatever technology I need, onto an actual iOS device yeah. and test the app.
And that's the reason you can't do that locally is because you actually need one of these bad boys to, you actually yeah. have to have Apple hardware to
yes.
to do it. Right. So they have a nice cloud of Apple hardware yeah. out there.
And Windows. Actually, if you're on a Mac and you don't want to install Windows and build a Windows Phone 8 Cordova app, you can use the PhoneGap build service to generate the XAMPP file, and then you can use that XAMPP file to deploy onto the store. So you don't cool. need to have, it's always recommended to test on an actual device, yep. right? So if you're doing a Windows 8 app, you'd rather test it on Windows machine.
Right.
But you can do that with a Mac. That's pretty cool.
Cool.
Okay.
Awesome.
The other thing is, which is very important here in a workflow, is the cross-platform aspect of things. As I showed you originally, I have that, I had that .dub.dub folder. This mm-hmm. is why my web code is hosted. Each time I'm going to call a specific command called Cordova prepare, I will redeploy this web code to the various platform sub-projects mm-hmm. to make sure that we are always in sync. Right. So that way I'm working on a single .dub.dub folder, and I can then deploy and make sure that I have that single code running across all the platforms. So now I have created these two platforms. It's as simple as invoking build, and it will scan all the platforms folder, generate the binaries for all of these platforms, and then it will allow me to run it. So if I do a Cordova run Windows 8, for example, that's the way it will run on my Windows machine, mm-hmm. which is the one I'm developing on.
So I'm guessing build. I'm guessing build calls prepare, so you don't have to go and do the prepare step first.
Build calls okay. prepare, definitely okay. yes. And then I have my basic Cordova app running.
Right, cool.
It's just pretty cool. It's basic, so let's make it a bit more interesting, right? So let me show you the content of that .dub.dub folder here. So my application is in that Cordova app, so you can see all my folders and the number of tentatives. Mm-hmm. Webcam TV. Dub, dub, dub. So this is index file. If I start in Internet Explorer, I have the same thing. It does not connect to the device because Cordova is not able to link to any device on that web page, actually.
Right.
Okay. And here I have another piece of very simple HTML5 JavaScript code. Mm-hmm. Right. And this one actually uses Cocos 2D HTML5, which is a gaming engine, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. Box2D, which is a physics engine, which basically nice. Leverages Canvas and JavaScript only to have that physics effect. I'm running at 60 frames per second, so it's pretty right. cool. Cocos 2D is a very popular gaming engine. It has various versions, C++, it has version for Objective-C, it has version for HTML5. That's what I'm using.
Nice.
And just in case anybody didn't see that out there, this is a touchscreen, so he was making things move with his finger, which you
No,
see.
It's magic.
It's magic.
I just didn't want them to be like, yeah. this is
it
voodoo.
It is magic.
Wow,
it
things
is
are
voodoo.
Moving.
Oh,
now, I would say it's as simple. Stop interrupting me. You're fired. I told you already. So what I want to do now is actually edit some code, right? I want to put this code here that I have for my Box2D demo and inject that into my project. So what I want to do is use my favorite editor. In that particular case, let me just invoke this code writer app here.
Oh, I love this app.
You like, right?
Yeah,
this is really, really cool.
I haven't seen this before.
Yeah.
You've not?
Well, I'm going
to go to Cordova apps. You're on a Mac? Yeah. I'm sorry for you.
So I'm pretty sure this application, just to kind of give a little bit of, not to steal your thunder.
You are.
But this application, I'm pretty sure it's this one, is actually created by someone on the IE team. And basically what they've done is they've gone out and created a nice code writing application that supports a wide variety of programming languages. So
yes.
it has syntax highlighting for, you know, HTML, JavaScript, CSS, PHP, C#, .NET languages, as well as Node, which is pretty exciting.
Which is pretty cool. Yeah, definitely. So let me try and find my other file, which is box2d.html. I'm sure I opened it earlier on, box2d.html, right? Oh, no, it's no longer there, because I'm not connected. Isn't that interesting? No worries. So I'm going to do that the old-fashioned way, right? And here, I'm going to do that this way. And I'm going to just pick, let's put Visual Studio, because I like it.
Can't go
wrong. So you can switch from editors, right?
Right.
Is that a nice cue here, because
it's
it was
like
not working?
Choose your own adventure.
Yeah, exactly. So it's, once again, very simple code. Everything is in JavaScript. I already copied the JavaScript code. I'm going to bring this tile sheet.
Let's increase
the
font size up a little bit.
I'll actually, let me just bring that up, and we'll work in there anyways, right? And that file is no longer here, and that's this one. This one, hello?
Yep, cool.
There we go. I'm getting
Thank you.
You're welcome. My creative pleasure. I'm going to bring the tile sheet up there. I can change the name here, right? That's really not a big deal. And here you see I have this like JavaScript code that is not needed anymore. And I won't explain why, because you guys are web developers and you get it. The other thing I need to do is actually call in the run demo.
Magically wave some hands around and things will work. If you don't know what defer is, you can go to w3schools.com.
Oh no, I defer you to the w3schools. Boy.
And the thing I'm missing now, to go back to what we're talking about, is the div, right? And here I obviously have messed up with the code in a way or another, right? Everything looks good. Do you see any typos somewhere? Right. Everyone breathes.
He's prepared this at least 5 times, so we know it's going to be epic.
Epic. Epic.
Okay, so what do I need to do, Jeffy?
You need to continue on with your demo.
What is the command I need to call?
Prepare.
Cordova, prepare. Yes. Hey, you didn't even let me say it. I was going to say it. I was right. I was right there.
Didn't.
I wasn't paying attention when you were talking about it earlier.
Okay, that's why.
I was thinking about lunch.
Cordova run, and this is where it doesn't work, right?
Well, don't you have to build?
Actually, run builds.
Okay.
But I didn't say that right.
Or he said
did
that earlier.
Well, I knew that. We did talk
so
about
it. So now
preparing.
I have a Windows 8 app that has my web code. It's full screen. I can play it with my fingers, not magic. Right, it's not Voodoo.
Is this the Surface 2?
This is Surface 2.
Surface
yeah.
Pro 2?
Surface Pro 2, yeah.
That's nice. I really like the display. No one out there can actually see the niceness of the display, but that's
so. Have you noticed I've worked in just my favorite editing tools, right? Visual Studio and CodeWriter, whatever. Command lines here. Eventually, I can show how that runs on an actual device rapidly. I'm not changing any single line of code here.
We now know your password.
Yeah, anyone knows. My kids know it, so I guess I'm screwed.
It's also the PIN code for his luggage and his bank card. Yeah. So
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Beep. Okay. And now I have the same app here.
Cool.
And I can play around with that exact same application and web code.
Sweet.
On my Windows phone device.
That's awesome. Right.
That's exciting.
And I could do the same with Android, with iOS, invoking PhoneGap builds.
So, I mean, there's one really thing. It's like, and it's just this easy. And it really was. Because, I mean, you have your Windows phone hooked up to a USB port. And all you did is write run. And it automatically deployed it out to the device.
So the prerequisite is that on my machine here, I have Visual Studio installed and Windows Phone SDK, because the connectivity to the device is actually taken care of by the tools that are coming with the SDK for Windows Phone. Mm. So yeah, and you always need these kind of tools. Yeah. However, the use of these tools is totally abstracted. I don't have to go into Visual Studio and start it and whatever. I still need to have it installed on my local machine.
OK.
You can do similar stuff on the Mac with the iPhone or your iPad and connected.
So yeah, because I was like, there's this awesome graphic out there. It's like Microsoft demos and how easy it looks and then how hard it actually is.
So, like, talking about that, it's not that easy. At the end of the day, we still are running on different platforms. The web browser controls that are on the various platforms are different. Windows 8 is even more different because it's not using a web view or web browser control. It's using Windows Web App, which is a JavaScript which unifies support for native apps that actually exposes that JavaScript code to a different security model. So there are things you cannot do in that context that you're used as a web developer to do, you know, like injecting dynamic code and things like that, right? So you still have to think, and that's the same, you know, even like difference between Android and iOS. You still have differences in the way the web browser control are. Yes, I know it's Android.
Voice of the Windows Phone. Corey's got an Android.
Corey is running a Windows Phone device. However, that's illustration.
I got you. I got you.
I'm glad you follow.
I do.
You still
these
have
eyes may look glossy.
So you still have these differences. So a developer needs to consider the fact that these are different targets, even though you are in the cross-platform development world.
Yeah. Right?
So that's very important. One thing that actually we're trying to do in order to help out developer communities. We know that if things work in the context of Windows Web App, as in compliance with the security model and so forth, they work pretty much everywhere else. Mm-hmm. So we've been working with jQuery, Things version thing two something, to enable jQuery as is in the context of Windows Web App. That means that if you bring that version or above of jQuery into your web code for a Cordova app on Windows 8, it will just work. And the same way that jQuery code will work the same way on the various other platforms.
Cool.
That's very important.
I always like the it just works kind of mentality. Do we have some blog posts on that kind of stuff that we can get for the show notes?
Yes, awesome. I will definitely share. Actually, we have what we call a project page on our msopentech.com website that has tons of resources for developing with Cordova for Windows and Windows Phone.
Great.
Gives you all the links to get the tools, instructions. Actually, the demo just did has the video. You can use the emulator for Windows Phone when it works, and you can.
It also has Olivier's personal phone number, so you can give him a call if you run into some problems.
Exactly. Same thing. I'm unlocking life.
That's right.
So yeah, you will find that as a note of the show. Yeah.
Cool.
Awesome.
That's
awesome.
Great.
Awesome.
I'm really excited about this because it's like it is nice to as a web developer use your existing skill set, go take that and just build for mobile. Yeah. It's like I'm a web developer, but now I'm a mobile apps developer as well.
Another thing I didn't mention, which is important, which is the look and feel. Because you have an app that integrates into the platforms by being able to use the platform resources, right? Mm-hmm. But in terms of look and feel, it's also very important that you develop an app that looks like a Windows Phone app on Windows Phone, like an iOS app on iOS, like an Android app on Android. Mm. And so you can leverage CSS and the various graphical frameworks that are out there, like jQuery Mobile, Sensha Touch, and they have themes for the various platforms. And you have a theme for Sensha Touch, too, for Windows Phone.
Right.
You have a theme for Windows Phone also in jQuery Mobile that you can leverage so that your app uses one of the theme on Windows Phone, another theme on iOS, another theme on Android. It's the same code. CSS takes care of making it look differently, and you are.
So you just
yes, exactly.
You just dug yourself into a hole there. So this does this. Is there anything that I need to do programmatically to switch between these CSS style sheets, or does Cordova manage that for me?
No, Cordova doesn't manage that for you.
Okay.
In your web code, you would have to do the best thing is with a feature of browser detection to know in which environment you are. But at the end of the day, you also will notice some things. I'm working in a cross-platform environment, but at the end of the day, I have native projects for each of them. In a real life, development, it's not like I just did like just once deploys everywhere, right?
So
you still have specificities, not the same resolution, not the same layouts, and so on. So you will go work in the very sub-project when you want to refine your app and make it more, customized for each of the platforms.
Yeah. You still have to do some work.
So there's
you still have to do some work.
You still need to. You can't just hit the easy button and away you go. Right.
You can just have like evangelists doing the work. We're not building apps, don't worry.
So I'm kind of curious, and I don't know if you have the answer to this offhand or not, but does it work the exact same way that it does in web development today? So if you're actually going out, there's the way to do like CSS switching, which is all led by comments. Mm-hmm. Is that the same kind of thing? Is it doing browser targeting that way? Or are you actually going out and doing like user agent sniffing with JavaScript to flip between those?
You're running in a web browser control that basically is a browser, so you have the same functionality.
So you do the
first thing you say.
Okay, so you can still use the context switching in the HTML comments instead of having to load up a whole bunch of JavaScript to do that for you.
Right.
Okay, cool, awesome. Well, that's really exciting. So that gives a lot of people out there the opportunity to go download Cordova, try it out, build your first Windows 8 application, build a Windows Phone application, and host it on the web.
Yeah.
And a cool thing.
Well, actually, it's hosted locally. The app, the web code is.
Well,
is
you could actually have like a web application hosted in, say, like Windows Azure websites.
You could do that.
The phone and something.
You could do that. Yeah, you could do that. Yeah. You could do that.
You could do that.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not saying it's definitely what you would want to do, but it is possible.
You can do that.
Plausible.
Well, if you want to monetize that, you might want to think about it. the stores.
Cool. Are there any extension points into, like, say, Windows Azure Mobile Services with Cordova at this point? Have we worked through that story, or are we
so
more focused on...
The story is already in there because there's an HTML5 API, which JavaScript API actually for Windows Azure Mobile Services. So from your web code, whether you're running on iOS, Android, whatnot, you can use that API. Right?
Yep.
So it's already in there.
Yep.
You don't even need Cordova for that.
Yeah. So basically what you want, like if your application requires some sort of storage, like if your game gets a little bit more advanced, like if you can break the boxes with the soccer mm-hmm. balls and you want to keep track of how quickly people do that or whatever, you can leverage those APIs to go and store like a leaderboard or something like that.
Exactly.
So do we have any plugins for Windows Azure Mobile Services today that would allow people to leverage that a little bit easier? Or is it just kind of go out, download the HTML APIs
for
or SDK?
For now, it's the latter for now, but that's definitely a good idea.
Cool.
So,
Well, I love giving our audience call to actions.
Yeah.
So if you do go out and start using Cordova and build tooling, or not build tooling, or build
plugins.
An application, what you can do is you can take some of those connection points to mobile services, make a plugin, and share them for other people to use so they can use that kind of, you can use that code in their applications.
And the Cordova community is pretty easy to work with. They have a core set of plugins that come to all the platform that they take care of, and they basically extend the model so that anyone can build their own plugin and distribute that on their own GitHub account, and they will actually reference that in their own tools. So you can create your own plugin. Hopefully you will think about it as a cross-platform plugin that works on all the platforms, because that's the idea of the thing, and then you can just publish it.
Cool. Is there a fancy command line tool to install a plugin?
There are some.
Okay.
It's a different talk.
Different set of tools.
Yes.
Okay, cool. No, that works for me.
It's the same set of tools.
We're just loading people up with the information they need.
But next time.
Yeah.
I'll give you an excuse to come back.
Yeah.
Nice. Olivia wants on the show more.
So leave a comment below if you would like to see Olivia back on here on how to create on how to create a plugin for Cordova.
Yeah,
I think that would make an interesting show.
Sweet.
Definitely like it.
Awesome. So we do have a little bit of sad news.
Sad.
Very sad.
Sad news.
Yeah.
So
I'm leaving.
Jaffe's been with us for a little while now, and we actually reminisced a little bit about the first show that Jaffe was on.
I'm actually wearing the same shirt.
The same shirt.
That I wore the very first show. I haven't washed it.
He hasn't washed it yet.
No, it means a lot to me.
So Jaffe's last day is coming up really soon.
Yeah, next week.
And this is actually going to be your last show.
And this is my last.
And I didn't fire him.
Even though Jaffe's been fired multiple times during this show.
I don't want the Twitter thing like, battle yay.
It'll be like that.
But, you know, it is a really hard thing to hang on to five-star talent. And we really hope that, you know, your next
five
adventure.
Five-star talent. Are you drunk?
We really hope that your next adventure brings you lots of good things.
And
I've appreciated having you on the show. Olivia being your manager. I bet you have a million and one things great to say about Jaffe.
He's just waiting for my replacement to get here.
Well, I'm suffering right now because that's going to be hard.
Yeah. So.
So with that, Bob, time to work your magic, buddy. Let's go and review the awesomeness that is the Jaffe.
That's awesome.
Take it away, Bob. Are we ready?
I'm ready.
Can you not lean? Okay, cool. Stand at perfect attention. All right, everyone, eyes front and center. We're going to kick this thing off in style. Hi, and welcome to Webcams TV. We're all very, very awkward right now.
I love you all very much.
Jaffe, did you have anything else to comment on?
Nothing.
Cool. So, Jaffe, do you have any other questions?
Oh, my head hurts.
Don't forget to join us here next time, here on Webcams TV.
Wait. Don't forget we're going to have all the links to everything from the show down in the show notes. And feel free to leave a comment if you have any questions. We both monitor the comment section, as will he, to see what's going on. I'm sure you're going to have a lot of questions because this is amazing stuff. And back to you, Corey.
Thanks, Jeffy.
That was it, right?
Bye, guys.
Have a great week. See ya. You totally, totally.
You didn't even give me an option.
I did. I said, did you have any other questions? And that was your window.
That was neat.
Cool. Awesome. Well, thanks. I put a lot of hard work into that, Jeffy. It was definitely neat.
Wow.
Awesome.
So basically, I have to pretend when you start talking that I've already had to listen to his spiel. So I've got to have that look on my face. like I'm bored already. Okay.
Jeffy, did you have anything else to comment on?
Nothing.
So I'm just going to clear this through so Jeffy doesn't get all confused. Welcome to webcams and boom! Jaffy does it again.
Attack. Why are you saying welcome to webcams, but you're already showing it? I thought you were doing that to start off with.
Jaffy, did you have anything else to comment on?
Nothing.
All right.
Cut. We're done.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, thanks for that, Bob. Awesome. That was awesome. Jaffy, we're going to miss you. And we know everyone out there is going to miss you. So hopefully everyone out there. I'll still see you next time here on Webcams TV.
Bye-bye.
Bye.